The 28th Gene Key. The transformational way of the 28th Gene Key moves from purposelessness to immortality, and it's the way of totality. Purposelessness, a very difficult word to say, but a word with many dimensions. It's a manifestation of the great dilemma of the 28th Gene Key, and therefore it's embedded in all human beings. And this is the dilemma of avoidance. You know, we've been avoiding the deepest fear, the fear of death, the meeting with our mortality. And the first dimension within this shadow is actually the fear of living. This is the repressed side of the fear. When we look around the world today, we see great swathes of the population caught in avoidance of the shadow. We can't live fully without embracing the shadow. And the great religions, you know, they've had a lot to do with the suppression of the shadow consciousness. And they've had a great deal to do with our avoidance of it. And this is what leads to the notion of a hollow life. And this may seem cruel, really. And yet it's true. Most people on our planet are either a victim of circumstance, whether it's poverty or disease or war, or in more developed countries, they're a victim of the system. And the system includes all institutions that create homogenization, you know, that make us the same. On a collective level, the notion of life purpose, it only really comes alive when our life is no longer concerned with survival. So as the 28th Gene Key reads, survival gives you a powerful purpose. You know, it has its own purpose. So this shadow operates in different dimensions depending on our culture, our geography, and our social status. But the next layer of this shadow inside us is the fear of dying. You know, so we have the fear of living, now we have the fear of dying. The fear of dying is when it hits us that our life is essentially unfulfilled. You know, this is classically happens around midlife when men really realize their libido is subtly declining, and women, you know, sometimes a little bit later before they enter menopause and as they enter menopause. But sometime after 40, death begins to creep into our consciousness gradually. So the fear of dying is what can create a sudden reaction inside us, a kind of depression or an affair or a divorce or a typical midlife crisis in some way. It usually comes as a kind of unconscious panic that wells up inside, that we're running out of time. And you know, it leads to all kinds of colourful crises. And this is the risk-taking element of purposelessness. It doesn't just happen to us when we're 40 either. You know, some of us embody the reactive side of this shadow our whole lives. You know, many end up dead or in some kind of institution or at the very least spread across the tabloids. You know, this is very reactive pattern is also rooted in a very deep unconscious fear of mortality. So at this frequency, we still remain a victim of the fear, even if we're playing it out. You know, we either repress it or we react out. You know, whether we internalize it, a fear in the body, or we externalize it through our actions, we're still a victim of it until we learn to see it for what it is, face to face. I love this word, avoidance. You know, it's a funny one. Avoid dance. We're simply dancing around in a void until we confront this deep fear of death. I've always been amazed whenever I hear someone tell me that they have no fear of death or dying. You know, if I had a penny for every time I heard someone say that. It only takes a second, though, for me to verify if it's true. You know, and if it is, I will be standing beside someone so incredibly radiant and surrendered that they are setting the world on fire with their presence. That's you without fear. So we have to realize that this fear of the void, it's actually deeply unconscious. It's buried in the low frequency bands of our DNA. It's a memory code rooted in an older part of our brains. And all other fears lead to this fear. They emanate from this fear. Yet when we raise the frequency field of the aura, suddenly something remarkable happens. The fear is no longer there. It's just gone. You know, the body itself is not afraid to die. Only fear, only the ego is afraid to die. And for most of us, it's a state that we cycle back and forth and in and out of. Awakening is an infuriating business. However, you know, over time, as our awareness of our own avoidance becomes more and more acute and more refined, we begin to stabilize at a higher frequency. And that's when we begin for the first time to live this higher frequency life, a different kind of life. So if you have this gene key in your profile, or if you're contemplating it, then you should know that this shadow sets you a tough curriculum. You know, your curriculum is root out and explore fear. Your life will invite you to explore some very deep fears, but you needn't let this make you feel anxious. Fear is just simply a vibration, a frequency that emerges from the chemistry of the body. And when you change the chemistry, you change the fear. And one of the simplest ways of overcoming deep-seated fear is through loving touch. You simply hold yourself, or you have someone you trust stroke your belly softly, ever so softly. And the body recognizes love as the antidote to fear. And the beauty of touch is that it bypasses the mind. The other antidote to fear is breath. As you breathe more deeply, over time the fear will subside. Breath brings awareness, and awareness is the great softener. It melts the fear. So give yourself these two gifts, regular loving touch and deep breath and awareness. The 28th gift, totality. Joseph Campbell, the great mythologist, he once said, "I don't believe people are looking for the meaning of life as much as they're looking for the experience of being alive." What a beautiful way to capture the essence of the 28th gift of totality. We know that every gene key represents a kind of human genius, and this 28th gift displays a genius for being alive. And I mean really being alive. Here's another quote for you by another genius, Henry Thoreau. "I went into the woods because I wanted to live deliberately. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to put to rout all that was not life, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived." You know, this is an expression of the kind of genius that emerges through this 28th gene key. The path of living life to the hilt, of living totally, holding nothing back. It's here at the gift level that we finally begin to realize the power of avoidance. And the third phase of this fear is the fear of not living, which is subtly different from the fear of dying. These are the three layers of fear in the shadow. The fear of living, then the fear of dying, and now the fear of not living. And the fear of not living is the healthier fear of the three. And it only comes in if we don't get stuck in the first two fears. And it arises as a pressure inside us. And it activates a higher evolutionary current that begins the process of awakening. Now we begin to really consider our purpose in life, and we begin to convert the potential energy of the shadow into the kinetic energy of the gift, and we become a creative being. You know, there's nothing like purposelessness or the lack of purpose to give an edge to life. And we begin to use that lack of purpose and turn it to our advantage and transform it into creativity. But it's a great mystical chestnut, this question of the purpose of our lives. Because we all, sooner or later, want to know what our purpose is. There are so many people out there selling us life purpose. You know, it may appear to an outsider that the gene keys and the prime gifts are about life purpose, since we use that kind of language. Yet anyone who's moving deeper inside these teachings will tell you that wanting to know the purpose of our life is simply a phase. And that phase, it actually gets in the way of living. As Joseph Campbell says, what we really want is to experience being alive. So there has to come a point in our evolution when we let go mentally of needing to know our purpose and we begin to move into the actual living of it. And what the higher reaches of this 28th gift show us is that true purpose or fulfillment always contains an aspect of service. That's why the programming partner of this gift is the 27th gift of altruism. We only really feel fulfilled when we're truly being of service. And that means we become a role model of what it means to be authentic, of what it means to be truly human. It's not necessarily about being in a service profession or a service role. It's about serving our higher purpose, which is the purpose of the whole. This is when the magic of the 28th gift kicks in. We begin to live a great life, a life that embraces all seasons, all moods, the whole spectrum. And you know, the 28th shadow can be deliciously dark. It's a realm populated by all the demons and the dark archetypes that stalk the collective unconscious. This is why so many people with this 28th gene key in their profile will find their destiny is drawn into the darker side of human nature. It's here that we have to really meet these dark archetypes and ultimately learn to know them as aspects of our own psyche. And then our life becomes romantic, whether in a dark or a light sense, but we realize ourselves at some level as an actor or an actress with a rich script before us, and our totality calls us to play our part to the hilt, whatever our role, lover, villain, emperor, janitor, it's our plot line, and when we give ourselves to it totally, we'll see that it's mythic in origin. And this means that we'll feel life calling out the hero or the heroine inside us. A mythic life is even played out on a mundane level, but only when we give ourselves totally to the drama. This is the beautiful metaphor of drama, and it's why we're also drawn to it, because it contains the codes of transformation. All drama has transformation woven into it, and that transformation always moves into higher and higher frequencies as the dark nature reveals its hidden light. I feel like it took a long time about this 28th gene key. It's so rich and so pivotal in our unconscious. It shows us the truth about life, that it can only be understood when it's lived totally, without judgment, without flinching, without hesitation, just trusting in the rush of knowing that our destiny is perfect, exactly as it is right now. The 28th city, immortality. Now here's a word right out of mythology, immortality. In all mythology, we have stories of immortal beings, of gods and goddesses. And for millennia, we humans have worshipped them. Even the one god, whether it's the Christian or the Muslim or any other version, it's immortal. And here's the duality, because our bodies die and are mortal, we can only conceive of their opposite, an immortal life beyond our own. What a trick, though, nature has played on us poor humans. This 28th gene key is part of the ring of illusion, a pair of codings which veil our perception of the whole. So our awakening is an encounter with the nature of these veils. We humans see from within the confines of our time-processing brains. We have no idea whatsoever of what immortality really looks like. And here's the truth. It is in front of us, and we just can't see it until we see it. Because immortality is to be found only in the present moment. That's the great mystery. Deep inside each of us is a presence that transcends our physical, emotional, and mental form. And that presence cannot die. You cannot die. I cannot die. Yeah, that should give you goosebumps. Yet the human journey is a metaphor that's grown up around this presence. You know, have you ever been to a great play, like a Shakespeare play, one of those incredible tragedies, Romeo and Juliet or Othello, the kind where this scintillating drama is played out and in the end everyone dies? Well, all the really interesting characters. And at the end, there's this moment of silence before the curtain falls. And in that moment, you're still there. And you're just absorbing it all. And then imagine everyone leaving. All the actors, the players, the audience, the stagehands. And you just remain there in your seat. And gradually silence descends as the cleaners finally leave. The lights go out and the door is locked. And you alone are still there, sitting before the silent, empty stage. That's immortality. That's the 28th city. It's there all along. It's there when we begin our life. It's there as we grow, we learn, we fall, we rise up, we fail, we laugh, we weep, we meditate. It's there when we die. It's there after we die. The only purpose of life is to reveal this presence to itself. And it's there all the way through the transformational journey from the shadow all the way to the city. And it simply watches and it listens. And it breathes. It's our essence. It's beyond life and death. It's beyond time and space. It's beyond all drama. It's even beyond love. The 28th city, however, it does awaken through drama, through totality. It demands fully embodied human beings. If we're miserable, but we're totally miserable, then the 28th city may still awaken inside us. If we're ecstatic, but totally ecstatic, the 28th city may awaken inside us. If we go out into our life and we look death squarely in the face and learn to know fear as an illusion, then the 28th city will reveal itself inside us. It doesn't matter what our life looks like from the outside. It only matters that we play our part. And that's the part that belongs only to us. And we play it willingly and with an ever-deepening sense of trust that life always, always knows best. I'll finish this jinky with something out of science fiction. Inside your body lies a great secret. Mystically speaking, it's found in the second line of the 28th jinky. You know, these lines are the coding patterns of all creation. In the original I Ching, this line was represented by an old tree putting forth new roots, or an old man taking a young wife. So it represents a place within our DNA that will one day switch on a gene sequence that causes the body and its systems to replenish themselves. You know, I said it was out of science fiction. The city is always about the fruit, so it always contains the seed of the future. And we have this potential for an immortal body, a physical immortal body. And of course, physical immortality has been a theme embedded in all our great myths and stories. It's the central motif of the most ancient stories that we know. The Epic of Gilgamesh, for example. Myths always contain the great codes of life. But we didn't get too excited yet. This is a secret that will only be unlocked through the very highest frequencies of grace. It's beyond our striving. The most we can do is quietly trust that it's there, and that one day the secret will be revealed. And the beauty is that immortality is guaranteed anyway, whether we're in a physical body or not. Consciousness doesn't need locality in order to experience its immortality. Immortality is simply the air that consciousness breathes. It's not even unusual. All you can say is that it simply is.